good to see everybody today. Hope you've all had a good week. Good to have our visitors with us and our very special guest. If y'all have not met Wade and Linda's new granddaughter, y'all meet her. She is a sweetheart. So I'm not sure what her name is. We'll just call her sweetheart like I do all other little girls, and I'll keep it straight. But good, really good to have each one of y'all here today. Appreciate y'all being here. So John chapter 8 is where we want to start this morning. It's one of the most encouraging passages that we have in Scripture, because it talks about the truth and the freedom that it gives us. But before Jesus talks about that, in verse 23, as he's talking to a group of a crowd that is there, some are Pharisees, some are not. But in verse 23, he's talking to the ones who were having some difficulty. You are from below, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. You will indeed die in your sins. Well, this is important for us to understand. We live in a world where everybody thinks they're okay, where one religious belief is just as good as the other. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The point is, you cannot accept both Jesus and anything else. It's the only way. There's only one truth, and the truth doesn't change. And so he talks to those who don't believe that he is, that they'll die in their sins. But in verse 25, they say, well, who are you? Just what I've been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable. And what I've heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I'm the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And then notice this, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One of the greatest things about Christianity is we have the truth, and it sets us free from all of the evil things that we find in this world. This world isn't heaven yet. There's a lot of people who, instead of following Christ, follow Satan. They make life very difficult for us. There's also just different things that happen in life. The happenstances of life that we all go through, that's part of the test of life. And if we're not familiar with the truth, we're not going to do very well. But for those who know the truth, they'll be set free. And just think about the freedom that we have in Christ and what all that means. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. To me, this is one of the greatest truths and one of the greatest comforts that we have when we talk about the freedom that we have because of the truth. Hebrews 2 and 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too, talking about Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Well, that's a really neat thing. One of the things that I love about Christians is they go from life to life. They don't go from life to death. And so while we can enjoy many things on this earth, and we do enjoy many things that are appropriate for us to enjoy, and I believe Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world, we need to be attracting people to Christ. And if we always act like we're mad, we're not going to be able to do that. But having said that, one of the greatest gifts we have is that we are freed from our fear of death. We certainly have noticed in the past year how many people have taken advantage of the fact that people are afraid to die. I don't think anybody looks forward to dying. Don't get me wrong, but this idea that we become so afraid of dying that we stop living just doesn't make any sense. You're here for a time to serve God. and to try and attract as many other people as you possibly can to serve God and to serve Christ. That's your sole function. If you can do that, you can have a really good life, and then you have eternity waiting for you, and you'll also have other people that you will have influenced, just as somebody influenced you, in order to take advantage of Christ's saving blood and of the grace of God. We have our part to do, but when we do our part, we are freed from this idea of being so scared about dying. There's still an uncertainty to it, but we're not afraid of it, because the next stage that God has planned for us, the purpose for our creation in the first place, is what we're going to when we look to eternity. In John chapter 8 and verse 51, Jesus even clarifies this more. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Well, you think about that for a moment. Never see death. Every person that was standing there when Jesus said that died physically. So is he wrong? And of course the answer is no. He wasn't talking about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death. As was mentioned in class this morning, Guy pointed out that sin separates us from God. That's spiritual death. If we have been separated from God, we need to come back to him. That's why his plan of salvation is so important and why it's so beautiful. We can have sin in our life. We can catch ourselves. We can confess our belief in Christ. We can repent of our sins. We can be baptized and have our sins washed away. And then we can live for him. And we're no longer separated from him. We no longer are experiencing spiritual death. But until that point comes, for those who are old enough to have made that decision, they are dead. They're separated from Christ. And they're dead in their sins. Let me be very quick to say this to our little children. Little children are okay. You don't need to worry about that. Jesus said, unless you change and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You don't change to become yourself. You change to become like a little child. And this is so important. But once you get to that point where you understand, and whatever point that is for each person, first time you sin at that point, you're separated from God. It has to be taken care of. Don't take that chance. Well, we've seen too many deaths out of time in this last year, have we not? To think that we need to be taking a chance with such a great gift. But, again, let's come back to this. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It changes the way we live. In John chapter 10, by the way, most of this first part is from our readings from this week. Let me again make this plea to you all. Be reading something from the Scriptures every day. You eat every day. I doubt very seriously if any of us have missed eating a day in the last, in my case, lifetime. That would be 60 plus years. But sometimes we forget the most important food, and that's the food for our soul. We've been in this congregation, we've been trying to read just a chapter a day to begin the day with the idea of if we can do that and take that thought with us throughout the day and really think about the truths that God has for us, it's going to help us. And so whether you're using that method or one that you find better, be reading the Word of God. And please do it every day. It will change your life. But getting back to the readings we've been looking at, John chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And then look at this part. Talking about Satan, he says this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. We had a funeral yesterday for somebody that really died out of time, didn't we? And one of the things that I believe people are struggle with when somebody dies out of time like that, before we would have thought is sometimes they'll get to thinking that God is unfair. You remember Job's situation? In Job's situation, God permitted Satan to test him. And Satan did. Satan incited Job's enemies to steal from him. Job was one of the wealthiest men in his area, and he had everything stolen from him. That was because of Satan. He's a thief. And then he had all of Job's family killed in one moment. Can you imagine losing all of your children at one time? And then Satan attacked Job physically. God permitted him to have these powers, and Satan used them in order to destroy Job's health. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy." We don't need to lose sight of the fact who is doing the stealing and the killing and the destruction. Because if we do, we're going to think that somehow God is being unfair to us. God is never unfair to us. As a matter of fact, if God were being unfair to us, would he have given his only son to give us a second chance? And of course, the answer to that is no. The thief, the other side, those who don't believe in Christ, come only to steal and kill and destroy. But look at this. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Abundantly is what some of your versions say. And that's what we have. That's why I feel like we really need to be enjoying our life to the fullest. Not all times are enjoyable. I'm not saying you just grin like an idiot all the time. I'm saying you need to be taking advantage of this life to the full, abundant life that Christ has given to us. If we don't, how ungrateful would that be for God to give us all that he has and then to act like it's been nothing? And then in verse 11, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's why we have freedom, is because Jesus took our part. And if we'll do now our service to God, we'll be okay. And that service, by the way, is amazingly simple as far as being able to understand it. It's always interesting to see how people will convolute the scriptures and make it so difficult to understand. God never did that. I understand that there are some prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet that we can't possibly know exactly what they mean and exactly when they'll occur. I'm not saying that we can understand that. But the things that God wants us to understand, we can. He does, through the prophecies, want us to understand that certain events are going to take place, such as the second coming, such as the judgment. But as far as the when, that's up to God. But now as far as our part, what do we need to do? Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Before Moses died, God had Moses tell the Israelites several things that are eternal truths. There were some specifics to it that applied only to those who were under the law of Moses. We're no longer under the old law. But there were eternal truths that he gave. And notice this now. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12. "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees." That's pretty basic, isn't it? What does he ask? Fear God. Walk in his ways. In other words, live the way he tells you to. Love him. Serve him with all your heart and soul. Obey his commands. That's been the standard since the world was created, and it is not difficult for us to understand. That's why we have such an important task when it comes to seeking out his will, so we can do this simple thing. Now, by the way, just by saying it's simple doesn't mean it's easy, but it's easier than living the other way. Micah chapter 6, again, the prophet comes with a very basic truth. Micah 6, verse 6, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Look how simple this is. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. We've lost sight of justice, I'm afraid, during our modern times, and the idea that sometimes people exercise justice with is completely foreign to us, and it's really ruining a lot of things. But God wants us to act justly, but He wants that justice to be tempered with mercy. People need a second chance. But without justice, the innocent are going to suffer. So we act justly, but we also love mercy, and then we walk humbly with God. We go His way and we do what He says. And life's really, really good that way. It's not that complex. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. We looked at this passage last week, but I want to look at it in just a little different light this week. Isaiah 33, 6 says this: He will be the sure foundation for your times. Some of your versions say He'll be the stability for your times. A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. You just think about this stability. One of the things that I have longed for, especially the older I get, and this last year has made me older and older, I think. I've longed for stability. There is a stability in Christ. You get up in the morning and your duty is simply this: serve God, keep His commandments, the same as it was yesterday. It's stable. It doesn't change. A rich store of salvation. Isn't that the reason that we're here this morning? We are looking forward to the promise of salvation that God has given to us. And God is a rich store of salvation for us. And wisdom and knowledge. Somewhere along the line, wisdom seems to have died. People don't seem to be able to just process the most simple things. And because of that, people are getting confused. The reason that we read the Word of God is because it is the only source of wisdom and knowledge that we can count on when it comes to the most important things in life. And notice this, you want stability, you want salvation, you want wisdom and knowledge. There's a key to that, and the key is the fear of the Lord. If you fear God, if you love and respect Him enough and understand that He is the Creator, that He is the Master, then you're going to have stability and salvation waiting for you. And you'll know what you need to do. But if you don't, you'll miss out on this. There's only one key to this. There's only one key that'll open it. And the question is that the one you want? Or have you been trying to get all these things in a different way? We're going to close this morning. I preached a little bit too long a few weeks ago. As a matter of fact, I had a 29-minute sermon, the longest sermon I've ever had. I thought about giving y'all all T-shirts for it, saying you survived it. But I'm going to reward you today with this. If you're ready to become a Christian, we'd love to help you with that this morning. If you need the prayers of the congregation, it'd also be our honor to do that. But if you have any needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?